Oh, yeah, a little bit of Creedence Clearwater for you there on a Tuesday morning. What is it? November 17th already. Hey, you know what? We're only about a week away from Thanksgiving. It's a week from Thursday, my friends. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Dr. Jo Jorgensen. Remember her? She's the Libertarian Party presidential candidate. We're going to talk about her performance in the election and also the future of the Libertarian Party. So stay tuned for that, if you will. And the New York Times says President Trump discussed bombing one of Iran's key nuclear sites last week. Now, was he stopped from pulling the trigger by his advisors? We're going to take a look at it. Take a look at the New York Times story. We're also going to take a look at Joe Biden. He made promises to strengthen the unions and weaken the wall down there. So we'll talk with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Sorace, about all of this. We'll take a look at Joe Biden's game plan, should he prevail in the election certification. So we got a lot going on this morning. We have a great top 10. I think you're going to like this top 10. This is the top 10 worst inventions of all time. Wait till you hear them. You'll see why they were the worst. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. You guys, you got to call first, 727-733-3773, and then you're going to get ready to get the best haircut for the best price I've ever found in Tampa Bay. They're located, by the way, in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive in Dunedin. And don't forget, every morning, start your day with Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy, they're going to give you the latest in news, the latest in entertainment, even politics once in a while, like we do. And by the way, they create beautiful posters. If you need a poster, you need a flyer, you need a banner for yourself, your business, contact them. Good morning, Clearwater. All right, lots going on this morning. Now, there is this story in the New York Times that President Trump discussed options with his key advisors about bombing one of Iran's main nuclear sites in the coming weeks. He apparently talked about this on Thursday of last week. And this comes after the international inspectors said there's been significant increases in Iran's nuclear material. Now, remember that Trump stopped the so-called Iran nuclear treaty. He said there was no teeth in it. He was probably right. So how close were we to bombing one of Iran's nuclear sites? And also, should he be doing something like that on the way out? Should he be discussing it with, Joe Biden's advisors if they're coming in? I mean, would you drop something like that in his lap? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit further. In the meantime, Californians are preparing to descend on Georgia for this December runoff in both Senate races there. A host of California residents and political organizations are preparing to go to Georgia to campaign for the two Democrats. Wow. What are they doing coming over? Why do they need California organizations to come over? What's going on with that? Why don't they mind their own business, right? So the San Francisco Chronicle says that California Democrats have been hounding political organizers about how they can travel to Georgia to volunteer. You know what? They'll go over there and probably screw it all up anyway. Can you imagine them going over there? What a mess that would be. Why don't you leave it alone? Your candidates or those that you hope will win probably will have a better chance without you stepping in there. But I'll tell you what, it is critical. Democrats know how critical it is. They want to control the Senate. So then they would have both houses. They're hanging on barely by the skin of their teeth in the House. They've only got about a 4 or 5 vote majority. Did you know that? You need 218. They got 219 right now. There's a few races that are still left. But, I mean, this is going to be as close as it's ever been in the House. So if they lose the Senate, how are they going to get any bills passed? Because the Senate and the House have to get together and agree to send it on to the president. So this is how important it is. And it probably, I mean, for Republicans equally, they don't want a Biden game plan. They don't want the wall, the building of the wall on the southern border stopped. They don't want all of these Green New Deal programs started. And all the other things. And they don't like the socialistic approach that Biden and a lot of his people are going to try to inflict upon this country. This may be one of the most important state Senate elections we've ever had, right? Both runoffs in Georgia. I think they're scheduled for like January, or is it December? No, but I think it's next month, mid-next month when this thing... is going to take place. But so there is a lot at stake in that situation. And you know, Biden is pledging that unions will increase their power while he decreases the strength of the wall. So the union organizations are hoping that he will keep his word. Trump got a lot of the union vote, a lot of the blue-collar vote, because Union workers don't see that the Democratic Party has done much for them. You got to remember that unions have declined. As an example, labor membership was just a little more than 10% of workers last year. Just a little more than 10%. In 1983, it was nearly 50%. So there you go. All right. I think we're going to take our break. When we come back, I'm looking forward to talking again with Libertarian Party presidential candidate Dr. Joe Jorgensen.
Here she comes.
Here she comes.
That little town flirt.
Here she comes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Tune in to Old East Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories. So pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Old East Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on FreedomWorks on a Tuesday. It's getting a little bit, I would say, nicer. I guess you would say a little bit cooler outside. I took my walk this morning. Nice, brisk walk. I wore my long-sleeve shirt, Ed. You don't usually have to wear long sleeve shirts in Florida, but, you know, by the time November, mid-November rolls around, you expect to, right?
65 degrees, I call it hammock weather.
Yeah, I like that, hammock weather. You can fall asleep, just maybe with a long sleeve shirt on, right? Something like that.
Nice to not walk outside and burst into flames.
You are so right. We are delighted to have back Dr. Jo Jorgensen, a wonderful lady. And by the way, she got almost 1.8 million votes in the presidential election. That's very, very good. Jo, welcome back to Freedom Works. I got a lot of questions for you.
No, great to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. First of all, you did very well. Libertarian Party candidates, you got, I think, the second best ever, right? Showing for a presidential candidate. Gary Johnson might have gotten a few more 4 years ago, but I think you influenced a lot of races. I wanted to get your thought. First of all, did you feel good about the way things ended up for you personally in the election?
Well, on the one hand, I was very proud that I beat Bob Barr's run and Gary Johnson's first run. So I think that's pretty good, considering I didn't have any name recognition. And I think it shows that the Libertarian Party can run somebody from inside the party and not somebody from outside the party. But, of course, I would have liked to have been the number one person. So,
oh, absolutely.
And we just need to build the party and get, we need to grow the movement so much bigger than what it is now, so that we're talking, you know, more like 5 or 10 million votes instead of 2 million. So we've got work to do. But this election is particularly tough. First of all, there was an incumbent, and Libertarian Party never does as well with an incumbent. And secondly, it was such an emotionally charged campaign, with everybody saying, you know, whatever it takes to keep the other guy out or from
right.
winning. So,
right. I'm going to get into that a little bit later with you. I want to just go down some of these other races in the Libertarian Party on Election Day. There was some Senate races. There was a Libertarian candidate in Nebraska that got about a little over 6.4% of the vote there. Let's see here. Two state house candidates got over 40% of the vote. Bethany Baldez received almost 50%, 49.6 for Wyoming, and William Hunt, 40.5 for Rhode Island. There were two state Senate candidates with over 30% of the vote. Now, all of this, you know, it sounds good, but the truth is, and this kind of gets back to what you were saying, the Libertarian Party gets close in some cases, but no cigar. And I want to ask you this specific question, Jo. Do you think that the Libertarian Party or the Libertarian movement is seen more as a philosophy, than as a party? Now, you know, a lot of Republicans, like Ronald Reagan used to say he was Libertarian, right? And all kinds of others, Ron Paul. And Rand.
Oh, heck, Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
The Laura Ingraham showed that he was Libertarian.
Libertarian. So now, that's my question. Is that what hampers the party, that people think of it more as a philosophy?
Gosh, I sure hope not. And I tried to come from a practical standpoint. I was out there talking about health care, talking about bringing the troops home, rather than, you know, I never once gave the self-ownership message or non-aggression principle, any of that. I was trying to put forth the idea that, hey, we can help solve the problems. You know, we've got a healthcare crisis thanks to the way the old parties handled it. Here's how we can fix it. You know, here's what, in fact, I even gave a practical solution. Here's how they're doing it in Singapore. And by the way, it's working very well. Or let's bring the troops home and stop these needless, endless wars. So I talked from a practical standpoint, but as I mentioned, it, in this election, it was emotionally charged. And secondly, if I can't get my message out there to people, then what do you do? Since it was a debate commission that kept us off the stage, and I'm still talking to people who think that the presidential commission, whatever the formal name that it's some government, impartial government entity deciding who should be on the ballot. Well, they don't realize that it's a private entity. It's basically a private old boys club run by the Democrats and Republicans, and they get to decide who's on the debate stage.
Yeah,
it's
got
nothing to do with the government.
Yeah, you make an excellent point. And when is the last time a third-party candidate has ever been a president? I can't remember that it's ever occurred. I guess back...
I thought it was Abraham Lincoln, but I'm not sure.
Well, he ran as a Republican.
Right, but that was like the new party at the time.
It was, that's true. And maybe it was good old Honest Abe, but we're talking the 1860s. And So I guess my point is... how difficult, you know, even around the turn of the century, and that's from the 19th to the 20th, Teddy Roosevelt ran on the Bull Party. He didn't win. He had become president after the death of the former president, but he ran on his own and was not able to win, you know, on the third party, and yet he had been, you know, the president. It's very hard for a third party to win. Now, the Libertarian Party, correct me if I'm wrong, they've been around since about 1971. And, you know, we've seen a lot of libertarian candidates, presidential candidates. I guess, I don't know. I mean, is there ever going to be a chance that the Libertarian Party is going to become like a third strong party? Or is it always going to be like a weak third party?
Well, first of all, I hope that we do become... if not a third strong party with the other two, maybe surpassing one or two of them as the Republicans did, you know, because they were the third party. But, you know, all I want to see is I want to see the country go back to its roots, to go back to a time when people made their own decisions and spent their own money, not a one-size-fits-all from the federal government telling the rest of us what we have to do. So, if you know, we were out there talking about bringing the troops home and talking about how Donald Trump wasn't very libertarian. And all of a sudden, notice he started talking about bringing the troops home not that long ago. So he had 4 years to bring the troops home, and he didn't. And he starts talking about it again after we begin showing up in the polls. So I'm sure you've heard the old thing that the Socialist Party platform from whatever, 1917, I can't remember the year, a socialist was never put into office, at least at the federal level. We've never had an official U.S. Senate or U.S. Congress or president elected as a socialist, but every one of their planks was put into law. So if we can at least, without getting elected, affect other people, then I'll be partially happy with that, because that's all I'm trying to do is make the country better, have the country be more like the American dream that my immigrant grandparents came here for.
Yeah, absolutely. The Libertarian Party, I mean, I think if you went around saying, do you want freedom? Do you want less federal government intervention? Do you want the private sector to run industries like healthcare and the like, you know? I think a lot of people go, absolutely, you know, absolutely. I don't want Washington. And yet, we are sliding towards a socialistic approach. And let's not forget, Kamala Harris has been considered perhaps the most left-wing congressman in Congress.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And she's now going to be vice president, right? Vice president.
Yeah. Well, but the problem is, you said that people are saying they don't want the government to run it. They want the free market to run it with health care. Unfortunately, the politicians, the incumbent politicians, have brainwashed the American people to think that we have a free market system. Because so many of them are saying, well, the free market didn't work. That's why we need Medicare for all. So a lot of people are saying, yeah, we need government to step in. They don't know that our health care was doing pretty well
Right. Until
government stepped in. And then when government steps in, then it gets worse.
Yeah, no, I can't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. When the government stepped in 1965 with the Great Society, Medicare and Medicaid, we were considered the number one place to go for treatment, were we not? We were the ones that were coming up with all of the new, you know, the new things, the right. drug companies. We were headquartered here, everything. People would come here. And we yep. were a free market system, you know. And the cost was within reach of people to, you know, to have the work.
Even for pre-existing conditions, the cost was
That's correct.
Reach.
Yeah, exactly. Then we get the government involved. And now nobody can afford it. Nobody could afford an opera. I used to say this, and I know you'll agree. Around in the early 60s, if you had to have, say, your tonsils removed or whatever, you know, just name any kind of a surgery, you could actually pay for it out of your pocket.
Yep.
Maybe $400, you know, $500 maybe or something like that, you know? Now, what would it cost you to have some sort of surgery? You're talking $50,000, $60,000, $40,000 or something like that. Nobody can afford it.
Yeah, in fact, if you look at Singapore, in our country, for a heart bypass, now this is one of the extreme examples, but a heart bypass here costs $130,000. In Singapore, it costs $18,000.
Wow.
Now, $18,000 is still a good chunk of money. Most people don't have that much in their, you know, sitting around in their checking account. But people buy $18,000 and above cars all the time. So if you absolutely had to, you know, just like taking out a car loan, you could take out a loan for that. So, yeah, it's very frustrating. Now, on average in Singapore, the costs are about one third of what they are here. And by the way, doctor visits are $10, less than our copay here.
Are they less government involved in Singapore?
They've got a system. Now, they're not completely free market. However, what they've done is they've set up a system to where, and I hate to say this, but it's kind of like Social Security, where a certain percentage of their paycheck goes to an account. So everybody has basically their own healthcare dollars to spend.
Okay.
But here's the free market part of it. The free market part is it's a true insurance system. And I've been going around saying the problem with our insurance is that imagine if your car insurance paid for gas, oil, and car washes. You know, you would have absolutely no reason to shop around for the lowest gas prices. In fact, you might even go to the nicest gas station.
Correct.
Because what do you care? You've got a little $5 copay. You might as well go to the nicest gas station. Well, over in Singapore, the people are spending their own money for a lot
right.
of things, including deductibles. And so they can shop around. And over there, you can get a semi-private room, you know, two people in a bedroom, a room in the hospital room. Or you can go in a room that has four people, all the way up to nine people. So if you want a cheaper alternative, you can choose a room in which there's nine of you, and then you get to keep that extra money so that when the time comes, you can spend it on vacations or new car or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah,
everybody gets the expensive one.
Yes, you're getting responsibility for your own money. You're getting responsibility to use it. In other words, they've just kind of opened an account you can drop money into that won't be taxed.
Right.
And a lot
now,
of yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say what I was suggesting is that we turn the VA healthcare system and Medicare and Medicaid into something like that because it's already under the government control, so that we've got people with their own dollars going around.
And they can shop with it, right.
Exactly. Just like
exactly.
Just like LASIK surgery is so cheap because people shop around because they're spending their own dollars. So if we can get the ball rolling with them, then the prices will start going down and we can have affordable health care again. So I'm not suggesting that we turn into Singapore where everybody gets involved, but we just get enough people to get the prices going down that we keep that momentum going with lower prices.
I'm going to ask you a final question. I mean, we could go on and talk for hours. I've got lots to ask, and I hope you'll come back again so we can do that. But Joe Biden, how do you think he's going to, assuming that he gets certified, how do you think he will do as our president for 4 years?
Oh, my gosh. It's scary. Although, you know, Trump also did a lot of damage. But I really, you know, we were just talking about our healthcare system. I really fear what's going to happen with healthcare under Joe Biden.
More government control, right? More government control is what you mean.
Which means there's going to be less competition, which means that prices are going to go up, which means that people aren't, you know, he's talking about Biden care. Like, you know, Obamacare works so well. Obamacare was atrocious, and prices went up. People lost choice, and that didn't work. So now Biden's going to do something that's going to make prices go up even more and even less choice. So pretty soon it will be, quote unquote, Medicare for all. When I hear Medicare for all, what I think is VA hospital for all. And top-down monopolies do not work.
Do you think that if the Senate holds with the Republicans, that there won't be any chance for Biden to be able to enact this kind of thing?
Well, that's a good point. I can only hope for gridlock. I was on a radio show when somebody called in being really upset about, he said, no, a vote for you is a wasted vote. I voted for Ross Perot. Look what we got. We got Clinton. And I said, actually, I was rather happy with Clinton because there was basically gridlock. We had Clinton, we had the Democrat in the presidential office, and then we had a Republican Congress, and nothing got passed. That's the way I like it.
A libertarian loves gridlock because that's less government money being spent. So I agree with that
one. Exactly.
Joe, Dr. Jorgensen, it is a real pleasure again to have you on. Thank you so very much for your thoughts. Want to have you on again down the road? I would look forward to that.
Sure. Give me a call after the new year. I'd love to be back. Thanks.
We will do it. Thank you very much.
Okay, have a great day.
And the same to you. Dr. Joe Jorgensen. All right, we're going to take our break when we come back. Going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about, first of all, what is going on with this Iran situation, and are we going to still have a shot at Donald Trump staying in the White House?
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Goode.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. By the way, Freedom Works. We are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. However, if your busy schedule does not allow you to hear us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can hear us on podcast. Indeed, just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look up at the top. You'll see the podcast button. Big Ed sets up all our shows. Newest show on the top. And you'll know who the guest is, you know, in the top 10. You can't go wrong. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, I have been reading about Sidney Powell. Now, those of you that haven't been following it too closely, she is a leading member of Donald Trump's legal team. And she has said that she's got some proof that Trump won the election, not by thousands of votes, but by millions of votes. And they were shifted by what's called Smartmatic software, which was designed to shift. In other words, designed explicitly for that purpose. So, Mr. Andrew Ceresi, are you buying into the Sidney Powell mantra?
Well, Paul, you know, like Sidney Powell says, she doesn't speak unless she has what she's got.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to believe her. I mean, you saw her with Flynn. She got quite the reputation, Paul.
Yes, she did.
And not only that, did you notice the video that they had of the CEO of Dominion?
Did not see that video. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, she's got a taped phone conversation with a video of him speaking with somebody, and somebody was asking him, well, what happens if Trump wins? And he says, don't worry, I took care of that already. He doesn't have a shot.
Okay, so is that on a video you saw where he says
yes, that? Yes. It was on the television.
You saw the video.
On Fox News, yes. As a matter of fact, I think Hannity had it on last night.
So don't worry, I've taken care of that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, here's
now, another thing.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That I got to clarify with you. Do you remember last week when I was saying that Big Pharma, a week after the election, comes out with this thing, and you told me, hey, why could you even think the pharma would do that, this and that?
Right.
Well, it was on Hannity last night. He himself said it. Big Pharma has been out to get Trump. They waited. Isn't it unbelievable how they waited a week after because they knew that if they brought this out and everything, that Trump would regulate what it's going to cost.
Well, they brought out the fact that they've got a vaccine out that's, and we're talking, of course, about Moderna and Pfizer in particular, correct? Those two.
Right.
They've got a vaccine that they claim is over 90% effective in both cases. And you're thinking that they waited until after the election to announce they had the vaccine. Is that what you're saying?
Of course.
Okay.
That's what I said last week.
And I think you could be right. I mean, I could see an executive saying, look, you know, Tuesday's rolling around here. Let's just wait, and then we'll make the announcement. And he might have had some political, or the group might have had some political motivation. I think if they knew for sure, they should have announced it as soon as they knew.
Well, you know, Paul.
So that maybe the election could have, you know, the votes would have gone a little bit more for Trump.
That's right.
I agree.
Well, besides the fact the fix was in, it wouldn't matter who said what.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, they got these Dominion computers tied into Venezuela. Everything you see going down in South America, all the problems they're having there, all these Dominion machines are doing the voting, Paul.
Why can't we just go back to paper ballots in a booth and not do any of this other nonsense?
Because we're a high-tech world, Paul.
It's but it's not working.
Car.
Right.
Well, wait till the high-tech cars start bouncing off other cars and your computers like a pinball. It's the same thing. People are relying on machinery too much, Paul. And I think this is going to go down bigger than we think it is. Because we're thinking it's only in our country going on, but I think throughout the world, wherever they can vote, votes are being manipulated to bring in globalism.
So Sidney Powell says that she's going to make some sort of show the evidence. Is that right this week?
She says she's going to be letting it go this week here and there.
Now, this is Tuesday.
That's right.
And I haven't seen anything further. She says this.
We're going to see, Paul, because
I know
this woman, like I say, this woman does not speak unless she's got something in her pocket. I wouldn't fool with her.
Yeah, here's what she said. She said, quote, I never say anything I can't prove. And then she does talk about the Michael Flynn situation. She identified a guy by the name of Peter Neffinger. Do you know him? He is an admiral.
Yes, I've heard of him.
Okay. He's the president of Smartmatic. This is the software program that she's...
Right.
Okay. Neffinger, according to what I'm reading here, is now on Biden's transition team. That does not smell good at all.
Well, there's been a rat through this whole thing. Okay? It's like I told you. Joe Biden, for 47 years, was in politics, knows a lot of important people. Now, his son, Hunter, and him are going down. So he sat there because, I'm telling you, John Kerry's son, Mitt Romney's son, and Pelosi's son are all tied in with Biden's kid with all these dealings. They're all making money. Biden got together with them and said, listen, if you want all this stuff to go away, there's only one thing. I got to be elected president.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the Comey thing go away. You'll see this go away. Paul, it's their Hail Mary, but you know what? They get caught at everything they do, and I think they're going to get a big fumble this time.
We're talking with the proprietor of the Barber Poll. You can see he's a big Trump guy, but he also represents what a lot of mainstream America thinks. What do you think, Andrew, of the discovery in, I think it's, I forget the county, I want to say Clark County, Georgia, where they found about 2,500 votes that they hadn't tallied?
Yeah, well, they all of a sudden they happen to appear because somebody's looking for them, right?
Why does it always...
All this going on all over. And what I'd like to know is how come all these times they usually find votes are always for Democrats?
That's exactly what I was going to say. How come every time we find all of these things, it's always one way? You know, like glitches, they work in Biden's favor or the Democrats' favor, right?
That's it.
Uncounted ballots, in this case, they work in Trump's favor, so they weren't found, right?
That's right.
Now, they're not enough, apparently, to overturn the vote in Georgia, but still, if it's indicative, and Trump says, and his team says, it may be indicative of other hanky-panky that's going on. You know, he's still talking about the Nevada situation.
And all Dominion machines, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. So there is a lot. You know, it's going to leave the country with... And I think it's almost worse. You know, sometimes the less you know, the better, kind of, although that's, you want to know the truth. But you know what I mean? Now
well,
that, go ahead.
The truth has got to come out.
Yeah.
Okay, the Biden crime family, the Clinton crime family, I told you before, they make the mafia look like Mary Poppins. This has got to come out. This country's got to be reputable again. We've been taken over, and it's time to clear house.
Yeah. So when Trump tweets... Or comes out and says that all of these problems are occurring, you know, about like now in Nevada, and, you know, that there's fraud going on and that the mail-ins are fraudulent. I mean, on the one hand, we've heard Trump kind of always raise the dust on the floor, right? And it's floating around in the air again, kind of.
Well, Paul.
Go ahead.
How many times... have you seen Trump be wrong with what he said was going on with the Russian collusion? How many times was he wrong, Paul?
Well, there's been some things he said that turned out not to be true, and then we forget about them. But that's all right. I mean, he was saying for a long time that Barack Obama was not born in the United States. You know, he would indicate. Then he would say, "Well, Hillary Clinton said that. I'm just repeating what she said."
He'll repeat things. Doubt about that too.
Well, I don't.
It doesn't matter anymore. He's a nothing anyway.
But I'm just saying. You asked me a question about has he ever been wrong? Yeah, he's been wrong a lot of times, but we tend to forget about it, and he exaggerates.
That was never proven yet, Paul.
Okay. But
it was never proven.
He's not God. He does make mistakes. He does not like to admit that he does. But
of course he
forgetting
does.
About
he
that,
says something goes on. He's on the money.
Yeah, He's done a lot of good things for this country. I don't think people are very appreciative. I think that sometimes they put personality over performance. I think you would agree with that. They don't like his personality, so they ignore his performance.
Of course. And, Paul, like I said, you got to realize these kids have been brainwashed how many generations. There's enough of them now that are causing problems.
I agree.
Okay? This has got to be taken care of before it gets out of hand, and I think Trump is the man to do it. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't see how dirty the Democrats and the Republicans have been, Paul.
Yeah, No, I think you're making a good point. So on a scale of 50-50, or whatever you want to call it, does Trump remain president or is it Biden?
Well, I think when all this is said and over with, I think Trump's going to keep it.
Wow. Wow. All right. You heard it here.
Listen, 72 million people are not going to let this country go down without proof that there wasn't any fraud. And right now, 72 million people believe there's more fraud than anything you see in their life.
Yeah. Indeed, indeed, indeed. All right.
The reckoning is coming, Paul.
Well, we'll see about that, too. Yeah. You know, maybe in the long run, it's going to take a lot of, it's going to take some action to kind of, what was the old phrase that every so often the tree of liberty has to be
shaken up
with the blood of its patriots or that. It's
right.
Kind of a scary thing to say, but sometimes you got to take some action.
And like you were asking about the nuclear places in Iran,
Iran
might be bombed. You know what?
Yeah.
They're breaking the laws that they were doing. They broke their part of the agreement. No matter what, take care of business.
Yeah, the New York Times says that, I think they wrote it sort of in a negative way. Well, I'm sure they wrote it in a negative way for Trump. It was like he wanted to go and bomb, you know, like a little kid. He wanted to bomb the site, and it took Pence and some of the others to say, no, we can't do that. That's the way it was written. I don't think that at all. I think they discussed it. They went around the table. Trump listened, and he said, okay, we won't do anything right now, you know?
That's right, but he's waiting.
But
and they know it, too. Yeah. And let me tell you, if Biden gets in there, they'll make him come over and inspect him. So I'm building bigger.
Oh, God. Okay. The master barber himself, and we'll be talking again with him on Friday. Thank you so much, Andrew.
All be good. Trump be with you,
May
buddy.
May the Trump be with you as well.
I mean, come on. Biden would not do that.
Not do what?
Biden would just give him another hunk of cash like Obama did.
Would he leave a suitcase on the airplane?
No, it wasn't a suitcase. It was a crate.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Remember the big...
I remember the airplane bit. Yeah. I thought it was suitcases full of money, but it was probably crates full of money.
It was that big crate. Yeah.
Let's just give away somebody else's money. Yeah. Isn't that the way liberalism works anyway?
He said we owed
them. We're going to give away your money.
He said we owed them that money.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Remember all of that? We owed, and then there was the prisoner deal, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. All right. Going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 worst inventions of all time.
Free to get ready now. Go, cat, go. But don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything but get off of my blue suede shoe.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the last segment, sadly, of Freedom Works this morning. And hey, we have a great top 10 coming up. But in the meantime, Thanksgiving is coming up next Thursday, not this Thursday, next Thursday, next week. And Uncle Joe, the president-elect, supposedly says that the public health experts tell him that you should only have up to 10 people for your Thanksgiving Day celebration. So let's make a note. Do not invite any more than 10 people. The government is telling you. I mean, how can you enjoy Thanksgiving? By the way, what if the turkey's not big enough for more than 10?
But wait, there's more.
What?
They also suggest that you bring your own plate, your own food, your own glass, silverware, and you stay at least 10 feet away from people.
And after the meal, bring your own toilet paper.
Or 6 feet. Yeah. There's another run on toilet paper again?
Yeah, there is.
Oh,
isn't that crazy? Paper products, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go again.
What's going on? Is it that people are buying into this thing about, I mean, we're getting close, hopefully, to getting that vaccination. But anyway, so Biden says maximum of 10 people, wear your masks. I don't think so. Let's just put it that way, right? You're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner. If these people are showing up, they're probably pretty doggone healthy, or they wouldn't be showing up, right? I'm not so sure. I wonder how many people are going to listen to that. I wonder how many people are going to listen to Biden saying, I want everybody to wear a mask whenever they're out in public. People are not, you know.
If you're having people over for Thanksgiving, you put one of these big bottles of hand sanitizer right at the door and just tell everybody, wash your hands before you come in or after you come in.
Yeah.
You know, and constantly pass it around. Who cares?
I agree. You know? I think you could do some social distancing at the dinner table.
Sure.
I can understand figuring out those kinds of things, you know. But leave people to give people some credit for some amount of brain power, you know. This is so crazy.
I mean, we're doing so much more testing is why the numbers are up.
And well, that's partly right.
I brought this up earlier. I would like to know the numbers. Now, they keep saying these are the highest test numbers. I mean, these are the highest cases since July when it peaked. I would like to know what the count, how much testing we were doing in July opposed to now.
We're testing much more now.
We're at least double. At least double.
Correct. And we're finding out that unless you're over a certain age, you got like a 90% chance of absolutely getting over the thing. You know? When you have people with weak systems and you have old people, handle those with kid gloves.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Because we know that that's the group that's the most vulnerable to this. The rest of us get over it, kind of like the common cold, right? I mean, that's really kind of what it comes down to.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, I think this is going to be a good one, Ed. This is the top 10 worst inventions in history. I hope you get a kick out of some of these.
Hey. So
get over on the drums, and here we go. Number 10. The Prankster Fire Alarm Trap. This came out in 1938. Okay. Coming straight out of the issue of Modern Mechanics magazine, the prankster-proof fire alarm trap traps the hand of any offender in a metal handcuff if they go and try to break the glass and pull the alarm.
Okay.
All right. Number 9. Oh, this is appropriate. The anti-eating face mask. The anti-eating face mask. Yes.
Lose weight.
It's a metal cage. That's correct. You want me to buy you one?
No.
Okay, it's a metal cage that attaches to your face to prevent those of you or us lacking
willpower?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Any self-control.
So you get the Hannibal Lecter mask. Who needs Jenny Craig? Get a Hannibal Lecter. Can you imagine making that a commercial?
What if you lost the key and starved to death?
Can you make a commercial out of that? I quit eating.
And by the way, you can also keep your canary in it.
Yeah. You can get a straw in it. You can suck your food down.
Oh,
bad. Oh, I got tears. Number 8. Okay. Mad for collision recognition with a pedestrian. I don't even have to look at what it is. It's just after a hit and run, it might be nice to be able to know whether you hit somebody or a traffic cone.
I think that's what the morgue is for.
I think all you do is look for blood on the side of your car. All right. Number 7. Battery-powered battery charger.
Battery-powered. Shifting power from one battery to another.
A rechargeable battery that recharged your cell phone's battery via a USB port. Too bad it's no longer in the Motorola website. Apparently it didn't work. Number 6.
You know what else didn't work?
What?
The DVD rewinder.
Yeah, they didn't make any money on that one either, did they? All right, number 6. It's called the Media Player Airline Holder. Bag of peanuts, $350. Toilet entrance fee pending. Hands-free iPhone viewing device ready to use even in the stowed and locked position. Priceless. $29.95 with shipping. Jeez. Oh, my God. All right, number 5. Oh, you'll like this, Dad. The inflatable dartboard. The inflatable dartboard, completely collapsible. The inflatable dartboard could be stuffed into a space the size of a small cup. Oh, it must be fun throwing the dart. What if it bounces back and ends up hitting you in the head, the dart in the inflatable dartboard?
Well, I guess once you hit the dartboard, the game's over, right?
Yes, it explodes. Number 4, the pedal-powered wheelchair. I've always wanted a pedal-powered wheelchair. For those who can't stand but can still pedal.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the nursing homes with all those guys with pedal races in their wheelchairs? Okay.
Like the rowboat for paraplegics.
Man. Yeah. Number 3. iPhone fingers. iPhone fingers.
If your fingers are too fat.
Ranging from small to extra large. An Austrian company offers only the best in latex digital protection to keep your iPhone smudge free.
Oh, good.
All right. Number 2. This obvious. The cat wig. Got to have a cat wig. Yeah. It's pretty difficult to decorate a cat, but with a kitty wig, it's easy.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. That's why it's one of the top 10 worst. My goodness, they tried to put a wig on that cat. All right. Here comes number 1. Of course, the detachable dog sack. Why didn't we think of this? Enjoy a car ride, but hate the hair that the dog has? Then the detachable dog sack. You hang the detachable dog with your pet outside the car in a pouch, attached with a rubber padded hook. Put your Great Dane out there and go up in the mountains. That would be a great ride.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. We're back on Friday. Remember, freedom works. In my way.